Some of you might have been excited to learn recently that J.K. Rowling, the author of the Harry Potter series, is now authoring a prequel for the theater about Harry Potter, the boy wizard, before he went off to study at Hogwarts. And what I find interesting about this is that even with six books, you cannot write one story without understanding that there is a far bigger story going on. In fact, I would have rather a play about Harry's parents and their battles and adventures. J.R.R. Tolkien was famous for having created an entire world and a language and an entire backstory before he could even write The Hobbit or The Lord of the Rings book. Any story, any one of our stories, any story we could write is at the intersection of individual stories, interpersonal stories, family stories, societal stories, national and global stories, all coming together to form one little story that we read. And the Christmas story is not a standalone story either. The Christmas story is not merely, but is the next chapter. Certainly not the first chapter and certainly not the last chapter. The next chapter in an epic story that extends back to in the beginning and moves forward through the end of this age and the beginning of a new world. Even in the story itself that we've read tonight in the Gospel of Matthew, we see how the stories of Joseph and Mary, and we didn't read, but the shepherds and the magi and Herod and the angels, how all of these stories were intertwined and intersected at the time of Jesus' birth. Matthew, we even saw, begins his account of Jesus by going all the way back to the story of Abraham and the story of King David to provide a context for the birth of the Messiah. Isaiah tells this story too. He tells it in Isaiah 11 through an image, the image of a stump of a tree that has been cut down and a shoot that is sprouting out of that stump. See, the stump is a reminder of a story that once was glorious and is no longer. It was the story of Israel, who God had delivered out of Egypt, out of slavery, and had brought into the promised land where they had a temple and became a nation, and they had a great king, and they had an identity and a calling as God's people. The story of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob that has been cut down. And then the shoot is a story that is still unwritten. The shoot is an image of the promise of possibility and imagination for where this story can now go. And that's where we get this very odd line in Matthew 2. So that he lived in Nazareth so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. The prophets never quite said that. But the word Nazarene is from the same Hebrew word as the word for the shoot that comes out of the stump of Jesse. Matthew is telling us that God's story, the story of imagination and possibility, is continuing with Jesus. It's not a new tree. It's not a new tree planted alongside an old one. God has not given up on Israel. Jesus is the assurance that God has not given up on Israel, but is the next chapter in their story. And as Jesus grows and as Jesus teaches and heals, and as he goes to the cross and as he is raised again from the dead, we learn that this is not just Israel's story. Through Jesus, the stories of people from every nation who speak every language, from every class, with all kinds of different pasts, from all walks of life, all of these stories are being entangled with God's story through the gospel story of Jesus. Christmas is the beautiful truth that God, in becoming a human being, has permanently intertwined the story of the Creator and his creation. So now I could ask, well, how is God's story intertwining with you this Christmas? But really, that would be far too small of a question. That's not quite how God works. Look at all of the stories intertwined in just this Christmas story. The story of an unwed mother and nobody shepherds and foreign astrologers we call wise men. A paranoid king named Herod. Weeping mothers. Not only do their stories intersect God's story, but their stories intertwine with each other. And that's the point of the next chapter. The Jesus chapter in the story. That now through Christ, every story is going to become entangled with the story of God's blessing and grace and love. Christmas, the Christmas story, is not just a story we hear. It's a story we get tangled up in. And to get tangled up in God's story means that we are going to get entangled in the story of God's community that we call the church, with the stories of the rich and especially the poor, the stories of the powerful and especially the vulnerable, the stories of evil and good, beauty and ugliness, joy and sorrow, the stories of death and the stories of life. Your story tonight is intersecting Jesus' story in one sense, but it is also intersecting and intertwining with the story of the person sitting next to you and behind you and in front of you. And if we take the story seriously, who knows what other stories we might get entangled with? This is all every bit as messy and peculiar as it sounds. But my prayer this night, this evening, this Christmas Eve, is that the Christmas story would not just be a story that we hear, but that it would be a story that we become entangled with. So that as our lives and our stories intersect our family stories and our friends and our coworkers and our neighbors and the poor and the vulnerable, that their stories through us would get tangled up in the gospel story of God's blessing and grace and his justice and love. Amen. Prayer is a way in which we intentionally intertwine our stories with God's. And so as we pray for others, we pray that God's loving and transforming presence would intersect their stories, especially on this Christmas Eve. When I pray, we pray to you, Emmanuel, I invite you to respond, hear our prayer, and we will conclude with the fourth verse of O Little Town of Bethlehem. Let us pray. Holy and almighty and powerful God, we come to you this evening as the one who humbled himself and became a child and lived among us. We begin by praying for the church, your people throughout the world. Grant, Almighty God, that as you have interwoven your presence in your creation, we would be a community woven together in your grace. May we live together in your love and proclaim your gospel story to the world. We pray to you, Emmanuel. Hear our prayer. We pray for our nation. Guide the people of this land, our leaders, and the people and leaders of all nations. Guide them in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. We pray to you, Emmanuel. Hear our prayer. Creator, we pray for your creation. Give us all a reverence for the earth as your own work, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. We pray to you, Emmanuel. Hear our prayer. We pray for others around us. Bless all whose stories are closely linked with ours, for family and friends and neighbors. Grant that we may serve Christ in those relationships and love one another as he loves us. We pray to you, Emmanuel. Hear our prayer. We pray for those in need. Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. For all those who find themselves struggling in poverty as refugees, find themselves living in war zones, experiencing broken relationships. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. We pray to you, Emmanuel. Hear our prayer. We pray for our congregation, for all who are gathered here tonight. Help us to be a community that is relentlessly yet lovingly bringing the message of Emmanuel, of God's love for us, into the stories of the people and places all around us, that they may come to claim your story as their own. We pray to you, Emmanuel. Hear our prayer. Loving and gracious God, we ask this all through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns together with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.